This is for the two.
Thank you very much. Just notices.
Yud Beis Nissen, Wednesday the 4th of April, Rabbi Eli Pick, Mechivas Chometz, are we cheating?
The Rav of the Shul, Rav Chaim Zendel Perlman, Shlita. I once knew a man, a very conscientious man, who came from Preisach in Germany. He had trials and tribulations, he suffered from the Nazis, his parents were murdered in Auschwitz. He was very, very meductic in all his mitzvahs. And he once told me that when it comes to Erev Pesach, as a Bechor, he fasts. He might attend to see him, but he fasts the whole day. He also told me that he never sells his chometz. He uses it up, he disposes of it, but he doesn't do mechiras chometz. So I asked him, why not? He said, I don't make poshoras viz hakodash baruch. He won't make compromises. Is mechiras chometz a compromise? We won't discuss now the fasting on Tanis Bukharin, but the mechiras chometz. Fortunately, he did make a compromise with me. He allowed me to marry his daughter. So, is Mechirat Chometz some sort of compromise? Is it a trick? We call it a heta. You'll say to me, listen, I do it through my Rav. I trust my Rav. The Rav does it for me, so it must be alright. It must be 100% kosher. I trust him. But to lend justification to this gracious man who is now an Olam Habo, the Vilna Gaon actually discouraged people from selling Chometz Gomor. And Rav Chaim Volozhin did not want to eat any chometz after Pesach, which had been sold, because he was worried that there hadn't been the right kavana in the sale. Either kavana from the side of the Jewish person who was selling, or maybe the guy who was buying. The guy's attitude was, well, you know, I'm selling it back in 9 or 10 days' time. So the guy may be seeing it as a joke, and if there's not the right kavana, is it all right? And Machatzis HaShekel actually writes, Ein data shall akum likno. So the guy hasn't really got it in his mind that he's properly buying. And Rav Amram Gaon said, Osul asos b'chol shono. He says, if you're doing it every single year, parrot fashion, rather than just some occasional feature of your routine, he didn't like it. And the Shalas of Shuvas Elef and Choshlomo in Shimon Reish Chavtes says, Hetzesh hatolo basaro mikoach dochat godol. That selling chometz, he says, is suspended like on a thread or a hair because it's so iffy. So the question is, are we really cheating? I was once in the presence of two non-Jewish colleagues, and one was telling the other about he was called to his neighbor, who was a Jew, to switch on lights on Shabbos or to put on the heating on Shabbos. And this non-Jewish lady secretary said to him, you can't do that. And he said, why not? She said, because that's cheating. And this was a dialogue going on between two non-Jewish people. So the question about a Mechiras Chometz is it really cheating? Is it a Ha'aromo, as we would call it? What is a Ha'aromo? Many define it as some sort of legal loophole, or perhaps a legal fiction. Some might call it a kind of cop-out. Some sort of trick, or we say, well, on paper it passes the test. That's the expression which is often used. The lawyers of this country would perhaps call it a kind of device. Is it really that? If it is frowned upon in the way we've just been discussing, then maybe it is something repugnant. And in fact, the Chancellor of the Exchequer in his budget speech 2 weeks ago spoke about tax avoidance, which he said, it's legal, it's perfectly legal, but it's morally repugnant. Maybe that's the approach which is to be taken. So is it really sincere when you know that you're going to get this chometz back? And it's, as we said, a regular thing which you're not just doing occasionally. And if you'd be so sincere about it, I mean, if you're selling your house with it, have you notified your house insurance company that you're selling your house? Are you aware of the fact that selling your house invalidates your insurance policy because it's somebody else's ownership? And if, of course, the insurance company refused to pay out, the Chas V'Shalom, there's a fire. And then once I was standing in a shul on an eighth day Pesach, and the Gabba stands up and he says, people should not use their chometz until 10 p.m. tonight. And then there's another question. The caretaker of the shul is usually the fellow who buys the chometz. His salary isn't exactly a living wage. can he afford to buy such large amounts of chametz? The Rav comes to him and might be selling to him a whole whiskey warehouse worth hundreds of thousands of pounds. All right, you say he might get a bank loan, but the bank won't lend him for that. You might say he'll get a discount, but that won't help. So even if the caretaker can afford to buy this kind of quantity of chametz, is he taking it away? Is he storing it in his own warehouse? Are all the items he's buying saleable? So the Madoni Shmuel in his Sefer on Hilchas Pesach actually asks this question. He says, surely this is a divrei chisul, kechuchovat lula, various expressions to perhaps frown upon what is known as mechiras chometz. Alright, so you've got the trust in your Rav, so you know it's alright, but let's have a look at the sources in order to understand the issues. The source for mechiras chometz is in the Tosefta. The Tosefta in Perek Beis on Gemara Pesachim says, Yisroel v'nochi shayvoyim basfino. So you have a Jew and a Gentile who are travelling on a ship. The chometz b'yad Yisroel. So the Jew has chometz which he wants to get rid of. He may sell it to the Gentile. He can give it as a present. And he can take it, buy it back after Pesach. Provided that it's given to him completely. Matona gemura. And then there's three words added by the Bahag, which is brought down also by the Bach and the Beis Yosef and others. An extra three words, Uvilvad Shelo Yarim, providing that he does not cheat. So what does that mean? That he does not cheat, there mustn't be a Haroma. It's got to be perfectly legal and straightforward. And the Rambam brings this down in Hilchos Chometz, Matzapet Dalad Halachavov. And the Beis Yosef asks on this in Siman Tov Mem Ches. He says, selling chometz and buying it back 10 days later, of course it's a haroma. He says, I can't think of a greater haroma than this. Elomai, what does it mean by uvivad shelo yarim? It doesn't just mean a general haroma, he says. Uvivad shelo yarim means there should be no conditions attached. For example, the Beis Yosef himself in his Shulchan Aruch says that you may not sell with a condition that it's sold back to you. Almanos lahachzir. There may not be any conditions. And for him, that is what it means by the words, Uvavad shelo yarim. And that's good enough. However, it's implied by the Tosefta that what we're doing is a one-off transaction. People happening to be on the boat and he's still got chometz with him. It doesn't sound like a regular thing which takes place year by year where you're selling a whole whiskey warehouse. And that seems to be according to the words of the Ramban, the Meiri, the Mukhei Yosef and others, who are worried about the fact that it might not be a proper valid sale if it takes place so automatically every single year with such large amounts. And indeed, the Ritzvah says that if it's done so regularly, it's not really mechira, it's like a pikadon. You're simply depositing it. However, the Mishnah, as we know, at the beginning of the second perek of Perek Kol Shor, does talk about selling chometz in a legitimate way. It says, Kol Shor Shemuto Lechol, as long as you are allowed to eat chometz, machal behemo, etc., you can feed your animals, umochol nochri, and one may sell to the nochri. Umuto bahanosa, you can have hanot. And later on in the Gemara, they're on the same page, there's a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where Beis Shammai says, Lo yimko, you may not sell unless Elohim kein yedea, but sheyich lekod and Pesach, providing that it's going to be consumed before Pesach starts. And Beis Hillel says, no, it's okay, you can just sell. So the Ramban says that the reason for Beis Shammai being strict, that it must be consumed before Pesach, is because he might not be selling belayv sholem. He might not be having the right kavana when he's selling his chometz. And therefore, Shammai, in his precautionary way, will say, make sure it's eaten before Pesach, just in case. But Beis Hillel is not worried. So therefore we see from that it's quite legitimate to sell your chometz for Pesach. There's a very well-known acharon, one of the early acharonim called the Bechar Shor, and in his Pirush Tevuas Shor, he writes about people in his community whom he discovered are selling their cattle. What they're doing is they're breeding their cows for slaughter, they're breeding them for milk, and they're fattening them up daily with chometz fodder. And it comes to Pesach, and he discovered what they're doing is that they are selling on their flock. They are selling the animals and the chometz with it. And they're buying back the animals after Pesach. And he says, He says, this just can't be right. This yidah sitting back on Pesach thinking how wonderful it is that his animals are being fattened up, because if he wouldn't have this chometz better than during Pesach, then after Pesach they'll be much thinner and it'll take him much longer to fatten them up. And so says the Bechosha, this can't be right. He's getting hanor on Pesach. He's trying to do a haroma on an issa d'oraisa, and that is not allowed, he says. However, if you are selling chometz generally, he says it's okay. Why? He says it is a haroma, it is a device, but it's only on a d'rabbanon. What does it mean, only on a d'rabbanon? The word only isn't really right, because we mustn't degenerate the importance of the din of d'rabbanon. But when the rabbis made rules, they had in mind, and they built into it certain provisos that may happen. What he says is this, that when it comes to Erev Pesach, you're doing a bittul. You're saying, kol chamir v'chamir odikim bishusi, that any chometz which I have in my possession, which I've removed, which I've not removed, shall be regarded as ownerless and like dust of the earth, and that fulfills your biblical requirement. The Torah says, Tashbis Usami Batechem, get rid of your chometz. You want it out, and therefore it's good enough. Elomai, the rabbis were worried. You're going to walk around your house and you'll see a delicious cream bun from Parkway or Carmeli, and you'll forget yourself and you'll come to eat it. Particularly because it's kosher all the year round, so it's much easier to forget. So what did the rabbis say? It's not good enough just to do a bittul. You've got to do a bedikah and you've got to remove from your premises all chometz to make sure that this does not happen. So that is a din d'rabbanon. So says the Bechar Shor, in order to fulfill your din d'oraisa, you've done your bittul. It's good enough. So the only reason why you are selling your chometz is to override or overcome the din d'rabbanon of Balyar Balyar Motze, and therefore it's good enough because it's just a haroma d'rabbanon and not d'oraisa. What is his proof? He quotes a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Tes, where it talks about two kinds of haromo. One is Rav Huna, he places on a barrel, one is not allowed to close up a barrel on Yom Tov, and he places on the gap in order to preserve the wine, he puts on it a clove of garlic. He says, I'm just putting away my garlic. I've got no other intentions. I'm just putting away my garlic. But really, in effect, he is closing up the barrel to prevent the wine from going off. The other example there is where he is sailing on a boat. Now, one may want ride on Shabbos, and he gets on a boat which is sailing like a ferry from one side of the river to the other side of the river, and he goes to sleep. He's got fruit of his belonging to him on the boat. So he says, I'm just looking after my fruit. I'm just going to have a short nap. I'm not going anywhere, but it just so happens that the boat travels from one side of the river to the other. That is a haromo. And Rashi there says, since it's drabonon, it's not osu. It's okay. So that there's the haromo drabonon. Bisul ba'al mosagi midaraisa. And therefore, says the Madon Shmuel, bringing down from the Bechor Shor, it's okay to do mechiras chometz. But there are problems with the Bechor Shor. The number of Acharonim question it, especially the Chasam Sofer. They say like this, if you're saying it's the bittul which is the daraisa and overcomes the Minat Torah, and it's the mechira which overcomes the Rabbonon, what takes place when? If you do the bittul first, and then you do the mechira, then that can't be sincere, because the fact that you've already done your bittul and you declared your chometz to be ownerless makes your mechira a joke. You can't say that you're now selling your chometz which you've already annulled. Therefore, it's a giloy das that your bittul wasn't a sincere bittul, because in your mind you still own the chometz. And therefore, as a result of that, says the Chasam Sofer, you're committing an issur Torah, because then you're not doing a bittul, and the problem is if the mechira is okay. There's a giloy das that your bittul is no good. So let's say you do it the other way around. If you do the mechira first, which is really the way it's done, if you do your mechira first, then you do your bittul. Well, your mechira first, you haven't done a bittul yet. Therefore, the mechira you're doing is to overcome a daraisa, not a drabonon. So the Shvile Eish discusses this, and he brings a Shvile Dovid. He says it's like a land purchase, where there's a delayed action until a shtar is finalized, so that the two can go hand in hand. Although he still identifies problems, and he also brings the run at the beginning of Pesachim, who talks about the idea that the Torah is really confiscating your chometz from you. It's really out of your reshus in any case, because an issur hanor starts to bite. So because of that time lag, he says that the mechira and the bittul do complement each other. They're both simply a giloy das, a revelation from yourself that you want the chometz out. So that is the difficulties which come from the Bechasha. The Makar Chaim, who is the Nesivus, Rabbi Yaakov of Lisa, he agrees that the same chometz can be subject to both a bittul and a chira, which is not the view of many other achronim, but he says there's no harama at all. He says it's perfectly legitimate, and one is reinforcing the other. And in fact, the Kesos and the Nesivus both say that a kinyan d'rabbonon is okay for Mechiras Chometz because you are overcoming a d'rabbonon, but we won't get involved on all the kinyonim. So the selling is a giloy das. So says the Makar Chaim, it's alright to sell your animals. There's no problem in selling your animals. It's a legitimate sale. And even if there's aroma, you can do aroma even for a Minat Torah, for a Daraisa. And the proof of that is a Mishnah in Masa Sheni, Perek Dalet, Halacha Dalet. So there's no problem with aroma. It's still a legal transaction. Comes along Chasam Sofer, who writes about this in detail in his Trivas Arachayim Simon Samach Basin, and also Simon Kufi of Gimel. He says, definitely the sale has to take place first. And the sale is a Heter Gomor Beli Shum Pikpuk. There is no problem with it whatsoever. And even if everybody knows that you're buying back, and even if it's all right, there are no conditions. The guy can sell it on, he can eat it, he can do what he likes with it. And even the animals. And regarding the resale of the animals, so you can sell back at a higher price if you manage to fatten up the animals. But it's a legal sale, and so he disagrees completely with the Bechorsha. What about the question if the guy hasn't got the right kavona? So the Chasam Sofer says, your kavana is what really matters. Because you say, I want it out. I want to get rid of it. And your real rationale behind selling your chometz is simply to get it out of your house. The fact that you're going to give it to the goy so that he can do what he likes with it is not really your kavana. You just want it out. And that is the main kavana. So is that good enough to overcome also the din d'rabbanon of Balero Balemotze? Well, you're giving karaka. If you're giving karaka with the sale of the chometz, then, says the Chasam Sofer, there's not a problem if there was no right kavona, because then your chometz is hefka, and it's b'rishus hefka. So, hefka b'rishus hefka is okay. But certainly, your mechiras chometz is no worse than doing a bittul. And therefore, the attitude is, I want it out, and because I want out the chometz, that is good enough. So much so that the Maharam Shik writes in his Tshuvas Reish Hei, he once even allowed the Mechiras Chometz to take place on Shabbos, without writing, of course, because his attitude wasn't that it's a proper sale in the sense of what we normally do as a sale. It's that I want the Chometz out, and that is good enough. There is another aspect to this. If the guy hasn't got the right kavona when he's buying your Chometz, we say, Divine Shebelev Einon Devarim. It doesn't really matter what's in his thought. It goes by what's signed and stamped on the paper. And this is brought out by the Chasam Sofer and some other Tshuvas in Choshen Mishpat, in Kuf Beis, Evan Ezer, Kuf Yud Gimel, Kuf Yud Zayin. And the Nishma Sodom brings this down, and he says in Sheila Ches on the Chai Adom that he agrees and brings forward the Minag of the Chasam Sofer. And so says the Shalivei Eish, one can enforce this in court, one can sell on the Chometz. I mean, nowadays, sometimes property deals take place where the fellow in the middle hasn't got any money to pay for the property that he's buying. But he buys from one party and he sells it on to another party, obviously for a profit. And in doing this transaction, he is owning the property in order to sell it, but he doesn't have the money. So just like the caretaker hasn't got the money to pay for the chometz, that does not invalidate the mechira of chometz. And as far as our insurance question is concerned, well, it might invalidate your policy, but it won't invalidate the sale. But that's another topic of who does the money belong to if the insurance company pays up. So Rav Ozna actually brings down in the Shevet Halevi, Chelek Dalet Simon Mentes, that now Minag is like the Chasam Sofer. He writes a letter to Rav Yaakov Weingold that we go fully like the Chasam Sofer in validating the Chiras Chometz, and there are no opinions really which follow nowadays that of the Bechar Show. And this is endorsed by Dayan Weiss in his Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchok and Chelek Ches Simon Mem Aleph. So far what we've been talking about is that the heter is legitimate, or the haromo, if it's a haromo, is legitimate as opposed to illegitimate. But Rav Gestetner in his Tshuvas Laris Nosson goes one step further. He says in Chelek Lov Simon Kafe, it's not simply that there is a heter to sell your chometz. He said you should sell your chometz. You should go out of your way to make sure that you do a mechira. Why? Because there are certain people in our families or in our community who might not do their bedikah properly. Things might not be done kadosa chedin. There are nooks and crannies in the various kalim and so on, and where chometz may be found. And some hold that the issa of bayaroi bayamotze can even be with very small amounts. So he says you are doing yourself a favour by selling chometz, because that will be then a belt and braces job in making sure that you're not over bayaroi bayamotze. So he says, in Cain, Motsina Yesod Godot, we find here an important fundamental issue. Shekol Ish Yimko Chemsalakom, every single Jew should sell his chometz to a non-Jew. And my Rebbe, Rav Shimon Weiser, actually made sure that he always did the practice of selling chometz, even if he had no chometz to sell. He would sign a shtar to say, if there's any chometz in my possession, I'm selling it. The Nitzei Gavriel, in his Sefer on Shmitas Kesofim, brings a very interesting piece from the Ritvaz of Yaakov Dovid of France, where he discusses the idea of Mechiras Chometz, amongst other things. He also talks about Heta Iska, and he also talks about Prusbel. And he says there's something amazing. He says, there are Kofrim Sholim B'Kfira, there are people who scoff at us, and they laugh at us because we're doing these so-called devices like selling Chometz. So nothing could be further from the truth that this is a trick. He says, it's not that it's a heter to sell your chometz. He says it's a chumrah to sell your chometz. It is a stringency. And he says, not only are the scoffers asking this, Gam Yehudim Kesherim Shalim. He says, even Haimisha from Jews are asking this question, how can we do this, how can we do that? The guy hasn't got kavana and this and that and the other. He says, it's not a chumrah, it's a chumrah. Well, first of all, you're doing your bittul in your badika in any case. But bittul ba'al mosagi, in order to overcome the daraisa, it's good enough. So he says, by selling your chometz, you are making sure you're doing a belt and braces job by making sure that you don't have any chometz in your possession. And that is a chumrah, which on its own isn't really that necessary. And the same he says by heter iska, that really with heter iska, when you engage in a partnership with somebody else, one gives the other one money, does business with it, there's a share in the profits. There's no ribis in any case. If it's simply done for the purpose of a loan, that you lend me money in order to pay my tax bill, then I can't then give more money back, even with a heter iska, because that's still ribis. So the heter iska is a belt and braces job to show and to signify a giluy das, that what we're doing is not ribis, but it's a partnership. But that partnership can function as a partnership in any case, where money goes from one to the other and the profits are returned to the other party. And the same he says by Prusbel. What is it with Prusbel? You want to make sure that the loans which are outstanding to you will be repaid after the Shemitah year. So he says you don't really need a Prusbel. As we know from the Gemara, it's good enough if you put the loan in the hands of the Beis Din. The Beis Din can claim the money on your behalf, even without a Prusbel. But Prusbel puts in your mind the fact that there is such a din as Shmitas Kesofim. It puts you on that level where you got an awareness. And in addition, you're doing a Giloy Das. You're demonstrating by having the Prusbel that you are not going to commit the issa of claiming money back which is owed to you after the Shemitah year. So he says, Mechiras Chometz is a Chumrah, Heta Iska is a Chumrah, and Prusbel is a Chumrah. Am Yisrael Kadoshim Hay. We want to avoid all kinds of shadow of Isurim. So what started off today in our discussion on what appeared to be a device or what looks like a feeble heter is really not just something which is perfectly legitimate in halacha. It's not just something where Rav Gestetner says you should do it, but says the Ritvaz, it's something which is a chumrah in order to do your belt and braces job. Rav Daniel Feldman, Shlita of New York, made an interesting insight into the idea of Mechiras Chometz. And he says, it's a tikkun also for something else. It's not just to get rid of your Chometz. He says, you're doing a business transaction with a Gentile. And by doing that transaction with a Gentile, first of all, during Chometz, you will have in mind, when you see that Chometz, which is sold, that you can't eat it. You won't forget yourself. Why? Because you're stealing. You know that it belongs to somebody else. So you're worried that you're going to be stealing from a non-Jew. And he says, by that mentality of making sure that you're doing a kosher transaction with a non-Jew, and by not stealing from a goy, that in itself is a tikkun on the way we behave in our business matters. And that is a tikkun in a sense that can bring the ge'ula, and that we should be doing our business dealings properly by moving yomim. So he says, when you are doing your mechiras chometz, that in itself is helping in a small way to bring along the ge'ula. And with that sentiment in mind, we can reflect that we should all be zoche to be eating min hazlochim, min hapsochim, herav yomeinu, and we should all have a chag kosher v'sameach.